my publicity people say I'm an adventure specialist.
You're the one who wants to go down to the surface of Titan, he nodded.
If Professor Wilmot lets me do it.
Why on earth would anyone want to go to the surface of Titan? Cardenas asked.
Gaeta grinned at her.
Because it's there.
And nobody's done it before.
With that, he took each of the women by the arm and started off for the bistro, halfway across the village.
Professor Wilmot's quarters. James Coleraine Wilmot followed a comfortable routine almost every night. A lifelong bachelor, he usually had an early dinner with friends or colleagues, then retired to his quarters for an hour or two of watching history and a glass of whiskey, neat. He had known that Eberly intended to make a speech of some sort that evening, but had not let the knowledge interfere with his nightly custom. Eberly ran the Human Resources Department well enough, Wilmot thought, which meant that no one brought complaints about the department to Wilmot's attention. He exceeded his authority by allowing that nanotechnology woman to join the community without Wilmot's approval, but that could be handled easily enough. If the man wants to make a speech, what of it? He felt a bit rankled, therefore, when his phone chimed in the middle of one of his favorite vids, Secrets of the Star Chamber. He checked the phone's screen and saw that it was a minor assistant calling. With an irritated huff, Wilmot blanked the holographic image and opened the phone channel. Bernard Isaac's face appeared in midair, round, apple-cheeked, tightly curled hair. He seemed flushed with excitement, or perhaps worry. "Did you hear a speech?" Isaacs asked urgently. "Whose speech? Do you mean Eberly and his silly contests?"
"It's more than contests. He wants to tear up the protocols and write a new constitution, form a new government."
Wilmot nodded, wondering what the problem was.
"When we reach Saturn, yes, I know. That's in our plan of..." "No," Isaacs interrupted. "Now! He's telling them they should do it now."
"Telling who?"
"Anyone who will listen."
"Can't be done," Wilmot said, completely calm. "Everyone signed the agreement to stick by our protocols until we establish the habitat safely in Saturn orbit."
"But he wants to do it now,"
Isaacs repeated, his voice rising half an octave. Wilmot raised a hand.
"That's not possible, and he knows it. But I'll have a talk with him, see what he's after. Possibly you misunderstood his intention."
Isaac's round jaw set stubbornly.
"I'll send you a vid of his speech. You can see for yourself what he's up to."
"Do that," Wilmot said. "Thank you very much for informing me." He clicked the phone connection off, noting that the red recording light immediately lit up. Isaacs was sending Eberly's speech. Wilmot's brows knitted slightly. Isaacs isn't the excitable type. At least he hasn't been until now. I wonder what's got the wind up in him. Wilmot resolved to review Eberly's speech, but not until he finished the vid on Henry VIII's means of extracting confessions from his subjects.
2 hours later, after watching Eberly's speech several times and helping himself to another healthy-sized whiskey, Wilmot sat back in his favorite easy chair with an odd little smile playing across his lips. "So it's finally begun," he said to himself. "The experiment begins to get interesting. At first I was afraid they would all be anarchists, troublemakers, but so far they've behaved rather well. Damned little sign of rebelliousness or mischief. Probably they're all getting themselves accustomed to their new world, adapting to life in the habitat. Most of them have never had it so good, I suppose. But this man, Eberly, wants to rouse them a bit. Very good. Fascinating. Eberly puts out this silly damn dress code and no one complains. They either ignore it or they decorate their clothes with scarves and sashes. These people aren't going to be led around by their noses, that's clear enough. But Eberly wants to control them, apparently. I wonder what ticked him off. Most likely it was that little dressing down I gave him about the Cardenas woman. Instead of submitting to authority or sulking, he takes political action. Fascinating. Now, the question is, what will the general population do?"
He only got a handful of people to listen to him, but by the start of the workday tomorrow, the entire habitat will know of his speech. How will they react? More importantly, he thought, how should I react? Move to thwart him? Cooperate with him? Wilmot shook his head. Neither, he decided. I must not insert my own prejudices into this experiment. It won't be easy to stay out of it, though. I can't simply disappear. I have a role to play, but I mustn't let it interfere with their behaviors. Of course, he thought, none of them knows the real purpose of this mission. No one even guesses that it exists, and I must keep it that way. If anyone got the slightest hint of it, that would skew the experiment terribly. I'll have to be very careful in phrasing my report back to Atlanta. It wouldn't do to have some snoop in the communications department find out what's really going on here. He got up from his chair, surprised at how stiff he felt, and headed for his bedroom. I'll play it strictly by the book, he decided. The agreed-upon protocols will be followed at all times. That should offer enough resistance to Eberly to force his next move. I wonder what it will be. Eberly finally got rid of his admirers and made his way to his own quarters, flanked only by Morgenthau, Viborg, and Kananga. Once inside his Spartan apartment, he said excitedly, they loved me. Did you see the way they reacted to me? I had them in the palm of my hand. It was brilliant, said Viborg quickly. Morgenthau was less enthusiastic. It was a good beginning, but only a beginning. What do you mean? Eberly asked, disappointment showing clearly on his face. Morgenthau sat heavily on the room's only couch. It wasn't much of a crowd, fewer than 300. Viborg immediately agreed. Less than 3% of the total population. But they were with me, Eberly said. I could feel it. Looking up at him, Morgenthau said, 3% might not be all that bad. What about the other 97%? Kananga asked. She shrugged. It's as Malcolm said in his speech, they're too lazy, too indifferent to care. If we can capture and hold an active minority, we can lead the majority around by its collective nose. What will Wilmot's reaction be? Viborg asked. We'll know soon enough, said Eberly. A crafty expression came over Morgenthau's fleshy face. Suppose he simply ignores us? That's impossible, Viborg snapped. We've made a direct challenge to his authority. But suppose he feels so secure in his authority that he simply ignores us, Morgenthau insisted. Eberly said, then we will raise the stakes until it's impossible for him to ignore me. He smacked his fist into the open palm of his other hand. Kananga said nothing, but a wisp of a smile curled his lips slightly.
Holly, Cardenas, and Manuel Gaeta were the last customers in the bistro. The human hostess had gone home, leaving only the simple-minded robots to stand impassively by the kitchen door, waiting for the people to leave so they could clean the last remaining table and the floor around it. "Your basic problem is contamination?" Cardenas was asking the stuntman. Gaeta glanced at the dessert tray the hostess had left on their table, nothing but crumbs. They had finished the coffee long ago. "Contamination, right," Gaeta said, suppressing a yawn. "Wilmot and the geek boys are scared I'll hurt the bugs down there on the surface." "That's an important consideration," Holly said. "Yeah, right." Cardenas said, "I can solve your problem, I'm pretty sure." Gaeta's eyes widened. "How?" "I could program nanomachines to break down any residues of perspiration or whatever organic materials you leave on the outside of your suit. They'll clean it up for you, break down the organics into carbon dioxide and water vapor. No sweat." "Literally," Holly accented the pun. Gaeta did not smile. "These nanomachines, they the type that are called gobblers?"
"Some people call them that, yes," Cardenas replied stiffly. They can kill you, can't they? Holly swiveled her attention from Gaeta's swarthy, wary face to Cardenas, who was